It is Friday, July 31st. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
It's official. The United States economy has endured the largest decline since the invention of modern statistics. And how's your week going? Meanwhile, Donald Trump doubles down on a threat to push back the date of the November election. Other Republicans aren't quite sold on that idea. Not yet, anyway. And lastly, funeral services were held in Atlanta for the late Congressman John Lewis. In his eulogy for the late civil rights leader, former President Barack Obama called on Americans to summon Lewis's courage for the struggles ahead.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
It seems the economists who warned of a greater depression were not off base. The U.S. economy shrank by 9.5% in the last quarter, measured by gross domestic product and as reported by the Department of Commerce. That's $1.8 trillion worth of economic activity gone. At an annualized rate, which is the standard way of reporting these figures, the drop was closer to 33%. It's the largest recorded GDP decline ever. But there are other ways to measure the economy, and they don't look good either. For the 19th week in a row, new unemployment claims exceeded 1 million. New claims for pandemic unemployment assistance, a program intended to cover freelancers and other workers who aren't eligible for traditional benefits, totaled 830,000. This according to the New York Times. Consumer spending dropped by over 10%, the largest drop on record by far. Stock markets fell too, and according to Bloomberg News, 30 million Americans reported that they hadn't gotten enough food to eat at some point in the week, ending July 21. That represents approximately 1 in 10 Americans going hungry, at least for a while. 5 million of those surveyed by the Census Bureau said they were often without enough food. Millions more Americans are facing eviction. Ananya Roy, director of the Institute on Inequality and Democracy at the University of California, Los Angeles, told The Guardian that the scale of eviction and mass displacement was almost unimaginable. According to Roy, quote, "This will be worse than the Great Depression," end quote. Activists are calling on state leaders to cancel rent-related debts and keep people in their homes. In the meantime, they're taking action with or without the help of elected leaders. In New Orleans, housing justice activists surrounded and effectively shut down a municipal courthouse where evictions are processed. It's a start. This week has been a very long year, folks. Donald Trump said on Twitter yesterday morning that he might try to change the date of the November general election. Before proposing an unspecified delay, he said that mail-in voting would make 2020, quote, "the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history and a great embarrassment to the USA," end quote. Legally, moving the date of the election is not something Trump can do. The date is set by the Constitution, and only Congress has the power to change it. But the record of his first term shows that Trump's Republican Party cares more about holding power than following the law. Many congressional Republicans suggested Trump was joking. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky told a local television station that the country has voted as scheduled through wars and depressions and that, quote, "we'll find a way to do that again this November 3rd, end quote. As election experts pointed out, there are other things Trump can do to muck with the process as well as the result. Rick Hansen, a professor of law and political science at UC Irvine, suggested Trump could claim emergency powers to keep people in cities from going to polling places in person. Or, Hansen said, Trump could pressure state legislatures to take voting for president away from citizens entirely in the name of public safety. That is to say, state lawmakers could select presidential electors without direct public input, as they did prior to 1824, and this would be, theoretically, constitutional. Like I said, it's going to be a long year.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
A litany of American dignitaries attended the funeral services for the late congressman and civil rights icon John Lewis yesterday. Lewis helped organize the 1963 March on Washington with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He joined Congress in 1987 and represented Georgia in the U.S. House until his death 2 weeks ago today. He was 80 years old. Lewis lay in state this week after a horse-drawn carriage carried his casket over the bridge in Selma, Alabama, where police attacked civil rights marchers on Bloody Sunday, March 7, 1965. Lewis was part of that march. Yesterday's services were held at Dr. King's Church, Ebenezer Baptist, in Atlanta, Georgia. Speakers at the service honoring Lewis yesterday included former Presidents Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. Jimmy Carter offered a written remembrance. Trump did not attend. Delivering his eulogy, Obama asked Americans to imagine the courage of young Lewis as he challenged an entire infrastructure of oppression through nonviolent civil disobedience. He also called Lewis one of the founding fathers of a fuller, fairer, better America. Obama's eulogy was also a call to action. He said, quote, "Democracy is not a state. It is an act. And each generation must do its part to help build what we call the beloved community, a nation and world society at peace with itself." End quote. Rest in power, Congressman.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
The Associated Press analyzed more than 200 arrest records related from the protests in Portland, Oregon. They found that most of the protesters were not engaged in violent conduct before their arrests. 95% were local residents contradicting police claims of a transcontinental conspiracy. The vast majority had no criminal record, and the average age was 28. Keep up the good work, kids. Former Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain has died after contracting COVID-19. Reports suggested that he may have contracted the disease at a Trump rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in June, where he and others refused to wear masks. Cain was 74. A 15-year-old girl in Michigan who was jailed because she didn't do her homework may soon be released. The girl, known as Grace, has been in juvenile lockup since May. Her lawyers asked for an emergency hearing on Monday. According to ProPublica, prosecutor Jessica Cooper has reversed her position and now supports Grace's release. Cooper, perhaps coincidentally, is up for re-election next week. Lawmakers from more than a dozen countries decried the obstruction of the democratic process in Hong Kong, the South China Morning News reported. The international group, led by Republican U.S. Senator Marco Rubio and Britain's conservative leader Ian Duncan Smith, condemned the government's decision to disqualify 12 opposition candidates from upcoming Legislative Council elections. Four of those disqualified under a new national security law are incumbents. Meanwhile, several Hong Kong media outlets reported the government might delay the election for a year. How about that?
Quicker. Quickie.
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us live this afternoon on the Majority Report at 12 noon, and then later as a podcast, wherever your podcasts are served.